In light of national events which are occurring, I thought you would want to know that just before leaving office, and this is sincere and serious, President George Bush is reiterating his administration's opposition to abortion and support for religious liberty, and he has declared a religious freedom day with a White House proclamation that says, "No human freedom is more fundamental than the right to worship in accordance with one's conscience." In a separate proclamation, declared today National Sunday of Human Life. He said, "All human life is a gift from our Creator that is sacred, unique, and worthy of protection." He adds that America recognizes that every person waiting to be born has a special place and very special purpose in this world. Now, I'm grateful that we've had acknowledgement of the importance of human life from our president, who is getting ready to pass off the scene as the active president. We give honor and pray for those who serve as our leaders. Can you all say amen?
Amen?
I'm thankful that we've not had further attacks on our own soil in the vein of 9/11. I'm grateful for those kinds of things. Have there been mistakes? Surely there have been. But I think we can pause and give thanks to God for the one who has served as our president the last 8 years. In addition to that, we're getting ready to celebrate an inauguration, a historical inauguration in our country, marking the presidency of President-to-be Barack Obama, a man of color, which some in our country thought they would never see in their entire lifetimes. And if for that reason alone, it is indeed a historical presidency. As your pastor and as your fellow Christian, we are called to pray for our president. We are called to pray for our Congress, our House of Representatives and Senate, our state leaders. We're called to pray for our Supreme Court. Nationally, on the national scene, some of you know the name Pastor Rick Warren. Pastor Rick Warren has been called on to pray one of the inauguration prayers. Some people were immensely critical of him for taking the opportunity to pray at that event. I say, praise God, go for it, Pastor Rick. Whenever God gives an opportunity to declare the name of Jesus, take that opportunity. What kind of fruit do we want to bring forth on our earth? What kind of fruit do we want to bring forth here in this place and in our county, in our city, in our state? We want to pray for our national leaders and love them and support them. How many want the peace of Jesus in our land? Absolutely. The cross is not dependent upon political party. Church, I said, the cross is not dependent on political party. Jesus did not leave certain political parties out from the grace of God. All sides need Jesus. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
There's an equal opportunity need for our Lord Jesus in our earth today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. John 3:16, quote it with me if you would. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Pat, let's put these up on the overhead as we go through this morning. God's Word applies to all of us. Our calling is to help bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Our calling is to pray, to be salt and light. We can curse the darkness, or we can shine the light. And what we want to do is shine the light. This great big what?
Light.
Turn to each other and say, "You got a great big light. Let it shine." Now, as we begin this morning's message, the first point really is this. No matter where you live, no matter where you are as Christians, what is our place to be? To seek the peace of our community, our state, and our nation. To seek the peace of your community, state, and nation. Watch this in Jeremiah 29, verse 7. "Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. Pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace, you will have peace." Now this scripture, this prophecy was given when Israel was carried away to Babylon. They had given themselves over to sin, and they were taken captive into Babylonian areas, and they were under another's leadership and domination. But certain false prophets kept prophesying to Israel that you're going to be shortly out of captivity. This is all going to turn for you. It's all going to turn around right away. You won't have to suffer long. And it's all going to be a really easy street for you. But the Lord had spoken to Jeremiah and shown him, and prophecies had been coming for a long, long time about the judgment of God that would come on sin. And it did. And Jeremiah cared about the people of God. And the word of the Lord to him was to tell the people, don't be deceived. There's going to be trouble. And you're going to have to live victoriously in the midst of the trouble. You're going to have to be able to shine a light in the midst of a dark place. You might as well seek the peace of that place and live at peace. And you might as well marry and give your children to be married and have children and prosper. And as you are there in that community will prosper. Sometimes we as Christians say, I got to pull out of every activity, can't be involved in any activity because after all, those are things of the world. The Bible says, don't be of the world. We are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Love not the things of the world, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? But we are no earthly good if we withdraw from every opportunity to be salt and light and peacemakers and light givers in our community. When we come to a community, in comes the presence of God. Isn't that right? When you go into someone's house, when you go into a place of work, no matter where you go, when you go in that place, the blessing and the presence of God goes in that place. We can either curse the darkness and be living full of fear, or we can shine the light and let Jesus shine forth in a dark time. How many understand, as the things get darker on the earth, the light shines brighter? Amen? So we've got opportunities. Israel, carried away. They had opportunity to bring the blessing of God where they are. If the leader you voted for got voted in, rejoice. It's a historic time. If the leader you voted for did not get voted in, rejoice. God is still good and on the throne. How many know, no matter who it is, no matter what party they're in, they need God. So do we. Republicans and Democrats neither have a corner on God. God is God and sits on the throne. And it is up to us. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that He is Lord. We want to support and pray for their good success and godliness, don't we? How many want our president and the Congress to be successful? Absolutely. We want them to be successful. There are different ways to measure that success, but we want them to be. So as you pray for peace and godliness, you align yourself with God's purpose. And we are asking God to allow us to be free and to move in freedom, to demonstrate His word and ministry to others, to tell others of the good news of Jesus. And thank God in America, we still have the freedom to do that. Aren't you glad? We still have the opportunity to broadcast and evangelize about Jesus, to build His kingdom. It's not always easy. It may not be as easy as it used to be. But we still have this freedom. It may not be like it was where people said the good old days, and 50 years ago, 60 years ago, you can do all this with liberty, 30 years ago. Well, how many remember the good old days weren't always the good old days? How do we pray? What do we do? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'm reading from the New King James. If you need a Bible, there are Bibles in the back, and you're more than welcome to them. And I'd love for you to read along in the Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. First of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, the Apostle Paul tells us. We're to pray for who? All men, that includes, of course, women, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Remember, church, the kingdom of God and the cross of Christ are not dependent upon a cooperative government. Are you tracking with me? I said the kingdom of God and the cross of Christ are not dependent upon a cooperative government. What happened here in Israel? The Romans permitted their subject peoples to worship their own gods, but they had to show their loyalty to Rome by worshiping the goddess Roma and the spirit of the emperor. Now the Jewish people were monotheistic. They worshipped only one God at the exclusion of all the others. Rome allowed them to pray and sacrifice for the emperor's health without praying and sacrificing to him. That was a major distinction, a huge difference that they did for Israel. So prayers were offered regularly in the synagogues, showing the loyalty of the Jewish institutions to the Roman state. And when the zealots, the Jewish zealots, at a certain point decided to throw off the Roman yoke for God, they abolished the sacrifices in the temple. That act took place in AD 66, and it constituted a virtual declaration of war against Rome, several years after Paul wrote this letter to Corinthians. The Christians, or to Timothy rather, the Christian public prayers were for the emperor. Provincial and local officials showed Christians as good citizens when they would pray for those who were their leaders. Paul's motives is more than seeking peace, but he wants peace for the opportunity to spread the gospel. How many of you understand that's why we pray for peace in our country as well? See, what we are called to be first and foremost are Christians. People who love Jesus and love His way, who love the cross and who love the Word, who want to cooperate with Him in bringing the kingdom where? On earth as it is in heaven. So we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of our own nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our president-elect. We pray for our Congress. We pray for these people, that the hand of the Lord would be upon them. You know, I don't know if some of you recall, but several months ago there were prophecies that went forth nationally that talked about whoever is next to be president will experience a fantastic move of the Holy Spirit on his life while he's in the White House and will come to be a real powerful servant of the Lord. Now, that's what the prophetic word was. We'll see if it comes to pass. But church, why don't you think we ought to be praying for that to happen? Absolutely, we ought to be praying for that to happen. We can stand around and curse all day long, and we can be upset, we can be frustrated, and we can want more conservatives in place, and we can want everything. And we can divide and we can split over politics. But what we're called to do is pray for God to move in America in revival. We're called to pray for our leaders. We're called to bring forth the fruit of Jesus in our earth today. Somebody say amen. Amen. What kind of Christians are we going to be? Dark-countenanced people who want to split the earth, call down the sons of thunder and parallel James and John in the early days? Or do we want to bring the presence of God to our land? How many of you understand? It doesn't matter what side you're for. God's not taken by surprise in America. Amen? But will we, as Christians, do what God calls us to do, to pray for our leaders? You know, I've heard very few better speakers than our president-elect. Amen. Isn't that true? Some of you are going, yeah, boy, that's right. That's right. You don't have to give me a long answer. I've heard few better speakers. I've heard few on the national agenda stir up more hope in people. I've heard few. And how many understand hope is a good thing? I've heard few stir up people to be involved in exactly the same stirring way. Now, we understand the answer is in Jesus for the world today. We understand that. We understand that a great president is not made by simply great public speaking. We understand that. But there's nothing wrong with hope, and there's everything right with our being in prayer and support that God will move both on, in, and through the leadership we now have in our nation. Amen. Amen? Amen? That's what the Bible says. How should we pray? The Ephesian church was to pray for everybody, for all men, but especially for the leaders of civil government. Paul didn't specify the content of their prayers, but you can guarantee he was saying pray for their salvation. Listen, at the very least, pray that God will move on these men and women, bring them to their knees in repentance and recognition that Jesus is Lord, surrender to salvation, be filled with the Spirit, and serve Him on behalf of our nation. How many are tired of petty politics? It hasn't really brought salvation to America, has it? You understand that the man who's going into the White House now is not, regardless of what some say, is not the Messiah. But neither was Ronald Reagan None of our presidents are. They all need Jesus. So, why were they praying? Requests were made for the salvation of the governors. Remember your history. Nero had a growing resentment toward the Christians. We've taught this many times here, where we understand Nero is the one, most likely, 99.9% certain, Nero is the one who caused the huge conflagration, the huge fire in Rome. Remember? Burned Rome in 64 AD. And he's the one who then blamed the Christians to use as a scapegoat, when in actuality it seems that most likely what he wanted was simply new architecture in Rome. But he blamed the Christians. And then Christians began to suffer huge persecution from the Roman authorities. Paul, as he writes these scriptures, had been recently released from his Roman imprisonment. He was aware of the deteriorating political environment, the atmosphere. He urged prayer for the salvation of all men, but especially for the rulers, so that the stable, non-interfering environment of previous days could be there again for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forward, for faith to be distributed, for people to come to Christ. This is the minimum requirement, the Bible says, if Christians are to lead peaceable and quiet lives in godliness and in holiness. It's been said that times of political and social upheaval are excellent times in which to die for Christ, but harder times to live for Him. How many are called to live for Christ? Amen. Are we in any trouble in America, do you think? Is it a tough time at all in our land? Really? You think so? You're not just reading about it, you're experiencing it? Tough time. Time for God to move in America. Time to pray that the peace and presence of Jesus, even as we repent on behalf of our country. Am I concerned about some things? Absolutely, dynamically concerned. Do we cut off our head and we don't think, we don't evaluate? Absolutely not. Do we work hard and do we vote for whoever we feel we should vote for in good conscience? And should we vote according to the Scripture? Absolutely we should. But we should then, therefore, turn around and pray for those who are in authority, that God will bring them to Himself and move supernaturally in our land. It is appropriate. We need God to move. The Scripture says, make supplications and prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Those words, in the Greek, the word supplications means to interview. The essence is, you're doing an interview with God about that person, that issue, or that issue that you're praying about. Lord, how should I respond to this? What do you want me to do for this person? How should I pray? Lord, move on this person. You're doing an in-depth interview here. What's needful, Lord? How do you want me to pray? And the Bible also says, give thanks. Let there be grateful language. Thank God for the person elected. Or do we gossip and curse them instead? Church, let us what? Pray. Let us pray. For their souls, their salvation, their actions, their beliefs, their cooperation with Christ and His Word. We've come to be and to bring a blessing, the blessing of the presence of God. And sometimes, if you simply don't know how to pray, look and see what the Scripture says. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Those of you who are baptized in the Holy Spirit with your prayer language, or as you wait before the Lord, let the Spirit of God pray through you. The next verse up is another version of that, the New Living. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered in words. The question I want to ask you this morning is this. What language comes out of our mouths most quickly? Blessing or cursing? I don't curse anybody, Pastor Kev. Really? I know I've been guilty sometimes. It's quiet in here, I know. But I know in some of the statements I've made and some of the things I've said, some of the things that get passed along, we don't know the truth or the veracity of them. Some of the things are gossip. And what they should cause us to do is hit our knees in prayer and say, God, move supernaturally on that person. Move in our land. Heal our land. Oh God, if it is true, bring them to repentance. You see what I'm saying? What's our place to be as Christians right now in America? To pray. I'm not making a declaration here whether or not you like or love or hate or don't like our new leadership or any of them in the leadership scene. I can tell you a bunch of us, all of us have problems with somebody somewhere along the line in elected office. Amen? I mean, just look at our own county. You don't even have to go nationally. Just look at our own community. What are we to do? Listen, frustration is real and the concerns are real. And whether or not someone is godly is real. Whether or not somebody is furthering the cause of Christ or doing wicked things and abominable things, that's real. And we should stand for truth and against unrighteousness. But we need to speak truth in love. And we need to intercede. And we need to be parts of the solution. We need to be salt and light as God has called us to be. I tell you, I was in a conversation. I've told you this before. Let me share it one more time. I was in a conversation with a certain gentleman in this community 4 years ago. 4 years ago now. Who said to me with some measure of grievance in his spirit as he said it, Kevin, most of the people I know curse me. And this one person especially, who is known as a Christian in our communities, he said, and that person always curses me. And at that moment, I was re-quickened in my own spirit. Dear God, let me not be known for what I'm against, but so much more for what I am for. I am for Jesus, the cross of Christ, for healing and deliverance. I'm for the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. And I am not for dividing with you in this room over your political desires or affiliations. I may have personal persuasions, but I am persuaded for the goodness of God and the word of God and the kingdom of God and forgiveness and healing. And I love Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no answer because Jesus is the way. Someone say, amen. What will we be known for? What we are for or what we are against? Does that mean, Pastor Kevin, I can't be against something? Oh, no, no, no. Certainly. But let us be men and women of integrity who do our best to handle ourselves with a righteousness as we proclaim it. I was in a room last week with someone who mischaracterized, who actually, I don't know if he intended to say a lie or not, but it was a lie, who said something about how we had conducted ourselves and contacts over our property. And I, actually, Pastor Carl stood and made a comment that countered one of the points, and then I stood and made a comment that countered the other. And the statement that I made was, we have not been at all like you have characterized. We have attempted to be in every contact and in every dealing with you full of respect and listened and courtesy. And we have tried to handle ourselves with that kind of spirit. Church, I believe that's what God would have us do. Listen, there's great rejoicing going on in our nation. Can I just say an aside for a moment? Did you ever think you would see a person of color become president in our land? I grew up colorblind. Done but give me a powerful woman. Great with me. How many powerful women we got in this room? Great. Great. And no problem at all. God calls a powerful woman to be president. No problem at all. That doesn't bother me a bit. Praise God. How many of you guys think a tough woman could shape some of us up? How many of you guys have ever had that in your life? Yeah, thank God. Thank God. Yeah, my mom wouldn't have made a good president, but she kept me in line sometimes, boy, I'll tell you. The color doesn't matter. The gender doesn't matter. I may vote in a certain direction because I believe certain things by conviction in the Scripture. But when that person is in place, I'm called to pray. I am called to intercede. And if I don't like what they do, I'm called to vote. I don't have any problem saying it, but watch my spirit. Folks, we're not called to have the same venom that the demonic spirits of the world have. Wise as? Serpents. Harmless as? But it doesn't mean we don't stand for truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know I'm repeating. I'm laboring the point a bit, but I think sometimes we have taken a different direction. I know I have at times. Jesus, we want to pray that there's open doors for His Word to go forward. James 3, verses 8 through 18. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father. With it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Where we can find thanksgiving or praise, let it be given. Where there are issues of grief and concern and disagreement, let us handle ourselves as Christians. When our government takes steps contrary to the Word of God, we need to remember Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Do we divide and push people away because of politics? Do we become unlike Christ, unloving because of politics? Jesus came to save our neighbor's soul. We may disagree with their politics and are free to do so. But look at what 1 Corinthians 14:1 says. Let love be your aim, it says in the Old Living. Let love be your highest goal in the New Living. Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Pray for our nation. Pray for those who are hurting, fearful, losing their security. Pray for people where there's been suffering from floods and heartbreak. And pray for people that they'll see Jesus as the answer. Thank God throughout our nation in Katrina, the quickest ones to respond were not our government, but the Church of Jesus Christ stepped into the gap. Thank God, that's what we should be doing. Pray that Jesus will heal our land and pour out revival. Pray that people will repent of sin and surrender to Jesus. Pray for our leaders, again, to come to their knees in response to God's Word. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Many of you know, in fact, all of you, I'm sure, know Billy Graham. And most recently, there's been a prayer that was attributed to him. I did not hear him pray it. But the words are powerful, and I wanted you to see it. And it's up there as I read it. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good. But that's exactly what we've done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We've exploited the poor and call it the lottery. We've rewarded laziness and call it welfare. We've killed our unborn and called it choice. We've shot abortionists and call it justifiable. We've neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We've abused power and called it politics. We've coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We've polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We've ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God. Know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. And all the people say, amen. Now, there's not a burying of the head in the sand here, but there is a beseeching of God to do what only God can do. As we go through all of this, I want to remind you, no matter what you're going through, in suffering or anything else, we're not called to be ruled by our circumstances. Remember, no matter how difficult it gets, circumstances are not our master and Lord. Paul and Silas were mistreated. They were beaten, abused, stripped of their rights, and they were locked up in jail. And at midnight, the house begins to rock as they begin to pray and sing worship songs to the Lord from their hearts. People are listening, and why did they get thrown in jail? How can you do this to me? Well, and I can curse all day long the people who did it for me and did it to me because it was wrong. It was clearly wrong. Why did they do it to them? Because they cast a demon out of a girl who was used and abused by demonic spirits, and her masters could no longer get their economic benefit. They didn't care if the woman was free. They set her free in the Lord, and they weren't liked because of it. Their economy got shaken. Acts 16:25-26, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. The Greek word for sing means celebration. There was a celebration that took place. How many understand worship shakes things? Yeah. The celebration of God and singing in your hearts to the Lord and declaring His praises shakes things. Demons have to flee when Jesus is praised and worshipped. Times are tough. What do you do when times are tough? Pray and worship. When the economy is shaken, what do? Pray and worship. When people accuse you and abuse you wrongfully, what do? Pray and worship, because Jesus is still Lord and He's still on the throne. Someone say amen. Amen. Jonah got sent to a people who weren't walking with God. And those people had despitefully used Israel in very terrible ways, and that's why Jonah didn't want to do it. But God wanted them set free. God wants people set free to bring them deliverance and salvation. And political persuasion or buttons and has nothing to do with it. God wants people set free. Let's pray for our new president. That he'll be successful. That he'll look to Jesus and His Word and the Congress for the same thing. That they'll look to Jesus and to the Word of God. Our president is placing his hand in his inauguration oath of office on President Lincoln's Bible. And I can tell you, President Lincoln was a man who sought God. And that said of him, this quote, when times were more difficult than ever, President Lincoln set aside, instead of his customary 2 hours a day for prayer in the morning, would set aside 4 hours a day in prayer. And when people would say to him, how do you find the time to do that? You don't have time to do that. His comment was, I don't have time not to do that. Because we need the hand of God in our nation. Let us pray for our leaders, for the church, for success, for the peaceable fruit of righteousness. How many want to see God move in revival? Do it, Lord. We want Your light to shine brighter than ever. Amen? Freedom of the gospel, freedom that is true, freedom full of life in Christ, true liberty that comes from that freedom. Church, let's do what we said we'd do. Let's pray. Father, once again this day we pray for our president to Thee, that You'll bring him to Yourself in powerful ways. The Congress, the Senate and the House, Supreme Court as well. We pray for our nation for revival, O God. Let freedom reign. Lord, we understand that true freedom is in Christ. Freedom is in Your Word. Freedom is being blood washed, bought by the blood of the Lamb. We're grateful, Lord. We understand that what we believe determines how we live. We know that. And Lord, we understand there's that which is standing for truth and that which is not. We want to stand for the truth, and we'll do so. And Lord, we will do our best to be righteousness and salt and light in our communities as we stand with You. But Lord, our heart's desire is that freedom will ring in our country. That freedom will ring in hearts all across this land. Red, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in His sight. And Lord, we know that You have come to give life to all. And we pray, O Lord Jesus, that even as we work together with you, Lord, put a fresh anointing in our time of prayers. Put a fresh anointing in our time of life. And put a fresh anointing in our time when we intercede on behalf of our country. Together again this day we pray. We turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves. And we together pray that you would heal our land. Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have enjoyed for these many, many years. And we absolutely ask you to pour out the spirit of revival in Jesus' name. Now, there's great celebration that will take place in our land both today, tomorrow, Tuesday. And Lord, we pray that you will be the one who is high and lifted up. Righteousness exalts a nation. Wickedness destroys it. Lord, we understand that and repent from wickedness. Let righteousness be exalted. We all pray in the name of Jesus, and all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Sherry.